This is Brad Bloom, your host for this Faith and Fitness Magazine audio interview. My guest is author and speaker Shannon Perry. Shannon hosts a weekly TV show, Grace in High Heels. She has authored 4 books and is a certified instructor in parenting classes and crisis counseling. Welcome, Shannon, to Faith and Fitness Magazine.
Thank you so much, Brad. It's so great to be with you. I appreciate you having me on this morning.
Well, I'm really glad to be able to take some time to speak with you, and we're talking with you here in October 2019. I hear you just got back from a little bit of an early blizzard.
I did. It was 70 degrees on Wednesday in Rapid City, South Dakota, having a great time seeing Mount Rushmore, and overnight it turned about 29, and so I just flew out, and I'm in Texas, you know, where we never have anything but summer, so not in Houston. Anyway, so it's great to be back home, but it was so beautiful, and so I hope you're warm and toasty wherever you are today.
Yeah, for sure. And you say you're in Houston, right?
I am, yes.
What's your home church there?
My home church is Christ Family Church. We're in Cypress, Texas. It's right outside of Houston, so we're a little suburb outside of Houston, not right in the heart of the big city.
Well, we work with a lot of churches out that way that do fitness ministry, including Houston's First Baptist, so there's a lot of neat stuff going on out there.
Absolutely.
Way.
Great church. John Bassanio was a dear, his son-in-law, as a matter of fact, was my pastor for many, many years at my former church before I got married and moved churches. So I love that church. Greg Mott's a fabulous pastor.
Shannon, you have a free online resource to help youth and families deal with bullying. Share about that and the issue of bullying among youth, then describe how your resource can help.
Absolutely. Well, you know, growing up, Brad, I was bullied very badly. I was a little overweight, and the kids, as a matter of fact, in the neighborhood had a nickname for me. It was Big Mama. And I remember now, you know, I can look back on that and laugh thinking that's funny, but back then it wasn't funny. And I would go to school, and I would come home, and I would just cry and ask my mom and dad, you know, what's wrong with me? And I was only about 8 or 9 years old. And so when you're that little, it sticks with you. And I talk to many, many adults nowadays even that are still struggling with being bullied because they faced it in earlier life. We can face it as adults. We can face it as teenagers, as kids. But one of the things that I wanted to do whenever I became a school counselor, I was a school teacher and a school counselor long before what I'm doing now, which is traveling and speaking and singing at women's events, and we do an event for moms and teen daughters called In Her Shoes, and In Her Shoes, we discuss a lot about bullying, and one of the resources I created is in my book called Stand, and I took some things from, I was invited to create a curriculum from the school district that I was working on, and they said, we want you to help us create something that can help kids avoid bullying, and so I got to work on that, and I included that in my book, Stand, which won a Reader's Favorite Award. The teenagers are really getting into what it says because it's helpful. We need to know how to face these tough things, and so some of the things that I talk about in Stand and in the curriculum that I helped write was just how to help teenagers know how to face bullies, and also wrote a curriculum for parents to help their teenagers know how to face the bullies as well. And some of the things that you can read a lot more in the book, of course, and we're giving away, as a matter of fact, online this month, we're giving away a free resource. If you go to shannonperry.com, you can download a free resource to deal with bullies right there on the website. But we talk about several things, like how to respond to a bully if you're being bullied, how to physically avoid bullies. And, Brad, another thing I cover is how to deal with bullies via technology, because we're not bullied the same way nowadays that the kids are not being bullied the same way that I was back then. It was face-to-face. Now it's being done technologically. And so we need to know as parents and as teenagers, how do we avoid that? And so I go into a lot of detail on that. For example, one of the things I always remind the kids is, you know, password protect your computer. Very simple, but you would not believe how many kids give their password away once they've placed it in their computer. And so we need to give that to our parents, but I always remind them to not give that to anyone else. And then go into details about how to help parents let the kids know, look, you're safe with me, you can tell me these things, and how do we handle that? Because kids are often real reluctant to tell us as parents if someone is bullying them because they don't want to have it worse when they get to school or online or wherever it's happening. And so I go into great detail in the book called The Overlooked Generation for parents on how they can can deal with bullies. And like I said, one of the things that I always remind them is to teach their kids how to respond. They can simply remind them to walk away. If it's continuing, of course, we want to let school officials be notified. We always want to be sure that there is an active plan in place at the school for handling bullies. And if there's not, go as high as you can. I always remind parents until that bullying situation stops. Another one of the ways that I tell the kids you can deal with bullies, and we can even do this as an adult, is sometimes we can just agree with the bullies, and we can say, you know, if somebody says, hey, you're fat or you look fat, we can always kind of laugh and say, you know, I have gained a few pounds lately. Thanks for noticing, and kind of shuts them down. It takes their power away.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Because we know bullies are people who are looking for power. They're looking for control, and we can find a way to take that back from them. That's what we talk about in the free resource we're offering this month and in the book Stand in the Overlooked Generation.
Well, Shannon, I like that you, you know, you offer some really practical tips, but I will say I think one of the best bits of advice that I just heard you say there is for that relationship between the parent and the child. And I just don't think that can be stated enough, the criticalness of those strong bonds, those strong relationships. It's just absolutely huge.
You're absolutely right, Brad. And one of the things that we have to do is build trust with our kids. And, you know, I always talk, when I talk to parents, we do, like I said, we do this mother-daughter conference around the country called In Her Shoes, and it's just a fabulous event. And one of the things I do at the very end of the event is I allow the moms and the daughters to get together and spend time just talking face-to-face. I lead them through some guided questions and say, I want you to talk about these things. And we see tears, we see hugs. As a matter of fact, one of the greatest things that ever happened at an event, we had a mom come in who said, I'm here by myself. My teenage daughter has run away. I don't know how to get her here, but I did invite her to come. I don't know where she is. But she said, I saw your interview on CBS, and she said, I wanted to be sure to invite her and let her know that I love her and I want to work this out. And so the minute we started the conference, I looked at the back door, and here comes this girl, and she was, I mean, she had piercings all over her face. She was hardly recognizable, and she was just very distraught when she came in, and she wasn't willing to, you know, even look at me. But through the conversation between the mom and daughter, and as I began to teach, I saw the body language kind of soften, and by the end of the event, not only were they hugging and embracing and just holding on to each other, but Brad, that little girl bowed her head and received Christ at that event. And so I have to tell you, it was a powerful moment, and that mom and daughter walked out, you know, arm in arm, and it turned out to be a great day. So those are the kind of things that God's doing at these events. But we have to take time to sit down and do some face-to-face with our kids. And a lot of times what I hear from parents is, like, they won't talk to me. They won't say anything to me. And I always remind them, like you're saying, build that relationship.
Yeah.
And building that relationship, even if they won't talk to you, have a standing date with them and let them know, hey, every Thursday night, we're going to go out to dinner. And I have parents tell me, they just sit there and look at their phone. They don't look at me. I say, don't let them have their phone at the table. You put your phone away, because as parents, we're as bad as they are. But if you just sit and stare at each other, it's time together to let them know, I'm not going to ease up. I want to be in your life, not because I'm nosy, not because I want to control you, but because I love you and I care about you and I want the best that God has for you.
Well, I'll tell you, Shannon, what you're talking about there is just, it really highlights what we often encourage parents to think about doing, and that is to literally do that intergenerational fitness, to work out with each other together. And it doesn't have to be like going to the gym or going to an exercise class or taking a jog and getting into super deep conversations. It might go there, but it might be just that opportunity just to be together. And it's the repetitiveness of that, like you say, doing it every Thursday or whatever, where they start to get more comfortable with, hey, this is somebody that just wants to be with me. I have fun just spending time with my parent.
Absolutely. Great idea. Take a walk together. And you know, one of the things I think is so funny that parents will tell me is that my kid says, I don't want to. And, you know, I don't know about you, Brad, growing up, but I didn't say I don't want to my parents. I did it if I was told to do it. But I also know that my mom and dad were always asking me, what would you like to do? They let me be a part of the decision. And so allowing your child to be a part of that decision, if they say, I don't really want to go, you know, for a run, but, hey, I love to go to the batting cages or just something physical, like you said, to do together. We know that chemical things happen in the brain when we're doing physical things together.
You bet.
And so we want to be sure that we encourage that. And, yes, that's a fabulous way to build that bond, build that time together, and laugh. Laughter is a great thing. And as we know, when we're working out together, a lot of things, funny things can happen, and just enjoying ourselves. And so the fitness part of that is absolutely important. I know I walk and I run every day. Really just by myself. It's time for me and the Lord to be alone. But that is a great way to spend that time together and just to find out what is going on in your kid's life. And one of the things that I know my parents, my moms will always sit when we do the mother-daughter event, they'll sit down together and they're amazed at how many of them hear the same things from their daughters that they're hearing from their own daughter, which says, hey, how was today? How did it go today? And they say, oh, it was fine. And it's hard to get them to start talking. So I encourage parents to have some talking points. And one of the things we've been talking about in our ministry that we're going to start doing it in her shoes is what we're going to call real FaceTime. And that means we're going to sit down together and we are going to, or we're going to go work out together, or we're going to go to the batting cages, or we're going to go, you know, hit some balls, whatever you're going to do, go running, jogging, working out. But we're going to spend some face time together. We're not going to have our phones on. I think phones are fabulous. We can't live without them, most of us nowadays. But there is a time and a place for them. And one of the things I encourage parents to do is to find a place where they can put their phones away and have some questions ready that you can go through together and not just say, how was your day, but ask open-ended questions. Things like, tell me about who your friends are that you're hanging out with. You know, it's not because I'm nosy. It's because I really care about what's going on. If they seem to be shutting down, just continue to spend that time with them and just be loving and kind. Now, with that, we have to keep that boundary of friend-parent because we know we're parent first. But we also want them to be reminded we love you and we want to spend this time with you and we're not going away. And, Brad, we've got to remind our kids, I care enough about you that I'm going to be checking in on your life. I'm going to be checking your technology. I'm going to be looking in on who you're talking to because it's not you. It's the people that are surrounding you. It's those people in this world that I don't know, and I want to be sure that you're safe because you're my number one priority. Even if kids balk at that, they will cherish that because everyone wants to be loved. And so when we let our children know, hey, I love you, I want to be with you, I want to spend this time with you, they're going to value that. That's going to be important to them.
I totally agree with you. My children, they don't always like everything I do, but they always know that I'm passionately concerned about them and want the best for them. Let's talk about your book, Grace and Guts, Strategy for Living a Knockout Life. It's a tool to help women with mental and emotional wellness, among other things. You say in it that life is often like a boxing ring where women are fighting for their sanity, peace, and a sense of purpose. What makes this kind of wellness so important to a woman's overall fitness?
Well, Brad, as you know, if we don't feel good about ourselves, if we don't have that relationship with Christ, if we're not in tune with Him, if we don't have the mind of Christ, we get off balance, we get off center. And when our time is consumed with things, we're so busy these days, we're running in a circle. And I always remind, I speak to women, of course, so this applies to women and to men, but I'll say women because they're the ones that I speak to. And I always ask them, how many of you know your purpose for this season of your life? And there's usually only about 10% that actually know that. And I always remind them it's probably because, not because we don't want to know, it's because we're so busy just fulfilling everyday life that we don't often take that time to sit down and say, God, is this where you want me today? Is this what you want me doing with my life? And so I encourage the women through Grace and Guts because I encountered a moment like that in my life all in 1 year. My mom passed away from cancer. I am an only child, so she had been battling that for 4 years. And I had been her caretaker. And then that same year, my dad was diagnosed not once but twice. And in that same year, if you remember, Hurricane Harvey came to Houston and hit Houston, and we lost everything but our home and what was in our home, and we had a terrible flood that year. And then in that same year, they thought I had eye cancer, and I had never had surgery before in my life, Brad, and they cut my eye open and found 4 tumors the size of jelly bellies and took those out. And then in that same year, I lost part of my finger in a very freak horse accident, which I talk about in the book. And so you talk about needing grace and guts. I needed grace, obviously, yes, but I needed some guts, because that's when it dawned on me, you know, this life is like a boxing ring, and I feel like I'm just getting hit over and over and over. And I think we often feel like that. And when we feel like we're getting hit over and over and over with just life throwing things our way, then we can begin to shut down, not just mentally, but physically as well. And when we're shut down mentally, we shut down physically. We don't have the energy we need. We don't have the drive that we need. So I take it back to having the mind of Christ. And how do we have that? We go to God's Word. And so that's what Grace and Guts was written. It was written from my counseling perspective as a counselor, but it was also written from scriptural perspective. And I tell a lot of funny stories. I've done a lot of dumb things in my life, and now I just put in books and sell it. So
there you go.
I tell a lot of funny stories to keep it palatable, but the bottom line is we've got to know how to deal with some of these issues if we're going to be fit, if we're going to be fit mentally, spiritually, physically, emotionally. We know that all of that works together. And so I ask 5,000 women, what are the top 12 things you struggle with the most? And that's how Grace and Guts was written. And the 12 topics that they said were the ones that I dug into in Grace and Guts.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you next is you examine 12 issues with which women often battle. So share a bit about that and talk about how faith in God is key to winning these battles. I know for my wife, when a workout friend offers her a pat on the back and says, hang in there, you can get through this, it's often not really enough.
Yeah, you're right. It's good to have that, and it's great to have that in our life. But, for example, the first topic they mentioned was exhaustion, because I know we're all a lot of times exhausted, depending on what season of life we're in, more so than other times. But we all face exhaustion, and when we are exhausted, the last thing we want to do is get up and go work out, which is the best thing for us. And so talk about exhaustion in there and how to deal with that, and just a couple of things, since we're talking about fitness, that this is great to remember. There are very practical ways to deal with this that I give in the book, as well as scriptural. Of course, beginning each day with prayer is key, Brad. If we don't get our spiritual self in place, if we're not connected with our Creator, then our machine doesn't run right. And so we've got to spend that time first thing in the morning, I believe, with God. We all have different times where we can get away and get alone with Him, so it doesn't have to be in the morning, just some point. But I like to do it in the morning because it gets my day off to a great start. And then just remaining aware of distractions, I think, is another really important key, Brad, that we are living in a world that's full of distractions, and we have to be aware of those and say, is this thing that's happening in my life right now, is this part of the plan for the day? And that's why it's important to get alone with God first thing in the morning, to me, so that I can get His plan. I can get on His agenda. If I make my agenda, a lot of times it gets interrupted. And so I've got to know, what's your agenda for my day, so I recognize those distractions that are coming. But another
let me just chime in there. As you're sharing that, I would just say we've got an article in the magazine titled Your Alter Ego, and we talk about, you know, it's really awesome if you can, some gyms actually have, you know, little chapels in their building, but even if they don't, anybody can create something, you know, where you stretch when you go to work out. And just taking that time, like you say, to say, I'm going to focus in on God. I'm going to get rid of the distractions. I'm going to give this time now to God. It's huge for people to be able to put their workout in that context, to preface the physical exercise with the spiritual preparation.
Absolutely. And Brad, one of the things I do, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners do this as well, is I listen to podcasts while I'm running. That's my time to actually get infused. And I tell you, it really helps with my physical workout, because when I'm running and I'm listening to a podcast, I'm getting energized spiritually, so that just keeps me going physically. So I would encourage listeners, if you're not doing that, I know a lot of times it's easy to just, you know, turn on any music. Well, if you're going to listen to music, listen to something that's uplifting. uplifting. Listen to something that fills your spirit man up. And that really helps with that, like I said, that whole connection. We're all one part. And so I believe, you know, praise is the prayer that changes everything, as Stormy O'Mardian once said. I think that's such a powerful phrase. And when we turn on praise music, it changes our atmosphere. And so it changes our workout atmosphere. It changes our day. And so we have to know how to take care of ourselves. And that's one of the things in Grace and Guts that I talk about, is just being aware when exhaustion sets in, watching for things like, you know, simple things, dry lips. If your lips are cracked, your skin is scaly, you're probably suffering from, you know, dehydration, drinking a lot of water. I know we hear that all the time, but it's so important that we keep our bodies, you know, hydrated. Also, if we're not able to concentrate, we may just need more sleep. The lack or the will to exercise, you know, we all face that, but one night of lost sleep can lead to weeks of missed workouts and unhealthy meals for me. So keeping that weekly exercise program, and I know we just shot a couple of new TV shows in Nashville, and I had an exercise guy on, and he's fabulous. He's been on the front of all kind of muscle magazines, and he said something very important. He said, Shannon, he said, it's not about the length of time you're working out. It's about the consistency. And if you just work out 10 minutes a day, then that is going to build over time. Whereas when we get going and we get all excited and we say, okay, I'm going to work out for an hour, and then we, you know, we miss it day one, and then we're like, well, never mind. And so it's little as 10 minutes a day, because that builds. And that's something that's so important. And well, so eating right, we talk about that a lot in the book. But sleep patterns, sleep is so underrated, and we've got to get enough sleep. And if we're exhausted, we feel like we've got to keep going. Sometimes we just got to shut that off and say, you know what, I'm going to bed. It'll wait till tomorrow.
Because well, let me ask you a question, because you talk about consistency, and I can't begin to count the number of women that I've talked with and told them, you know, women have super busy careers these days, not to mention all the other stuff that they have going on in life. And I've told any number of them that they need to write into their calendar book, call it whatever you want, an appointment, a doctor visit, it doesn't really matter, but put it in there, and it's really your time just to focus in on your own personal self-care. If they don't, you know, can you talk about that a little bit, the battle with not being able to budget time just to breathe?
Scheduling is everything. It's everything. Going to God first and asking him, what do you have on my schedule for today? And listening, you know, so many times we pray, Brad, we say everything we want to say, and then we get up and say, okay, thanks, and we walk away. And I think God's saying, wait, you didn't wait for the answer I wanted to tell you.
That's for sure.
We've got to spend that time listening after we ask him, what do you want for my day? And I found personally, I've been amazed at the number of times whenever I make a schedule, how much doesn't go the way I thought it was. You know, going to go. And I think part of that is because I made the schedule. And so I think the first thing, again, is allowing God to dictate our schedule. And then writing that out. As I sit and as I pray, a lot of mornings, what I'll do is I'll just get my day timer, because I'm old school. I don't keep it on my phone. I like to see it in writing. And so I still have that old Franklin Planner day timer, and I love it. And I write out, okay, I think this is what God's saying, you know, get this, and say, well, how do you know? How do you know if it's from God? If it can be backed up in his word, if you know that it's something that's going to help you and help others, you know, we have a purpose, all of us, for this season of our life, and we have to know what that is. And so one of the things I talk about in Grace and Guts is, how do we find our purpose and live within that? And I think that's what you're talking about, Brad, is how do we know, if with God as our coach in this ring of life, how do we know how to fulfill that purpose for that day? And there's several things I talk about in there. One of those things, as we're organizing our schedule, maybe you have some listeners right now who are saying, you know, I really want to fit. I want to fit working out in. I just don't feel like I have time. How do I rearrange this? And so I would encourage. Here's the steps I would encourage women to take, and men as well, who are listening, is just to sit and listen to their dissatisfaction and say, okay, what is it in my life right now that I'm dissatisfied with? And, you know, begin to take that to God and say, is this something you're wanting to take out of my life? Because too many times our schedules are crowded because we're still trying to do something and hang on to something that God says, I'm not using that in your life anymore. I'm not doing that in your life anymore. And so we need to listen to our dissatisfaction. satisfactions. We also need to listen to other godly people to help identify our gifts and our talents and how we can be using those right now and see how that fits in with our schedule. And if I'm over here trying to be, I don't know if I'm stuck on baseball today because the Astros won, but if I'm trying to over here be a batting coach and I'm really actually called to be a decorator, then I'm not doing my purpose. And so I may be frustrated over here because I'm not getting done the things that God has gifted me to do. We come equipped with everything God has called us to do for whatever season of life we're in. He has put every gift and talent in us when he created us. And so what we've got to do is we've got to allow him to identify those in us. And most of us know what those are. But if we don't, we can go to someone else and say, what gifts, what talents do you see in me? And how could I be using those in my daily schedule? Now, with that said, we have obligations. We have kids. We have bills. We have, you know, houses. We have jobs. So sitting down and asking God to help organize our schedule that day is key. But writing in, like you said, Brad, putting in there, I need to work out. Today I'm going to spend 20 minutes, just me, 20 minutes, me and God. I'm going to read. Hopefully we have longer, but if that's all you have, that's all you have. And then write those things down and offer that vision to God. And instead of asking him to bless your plans, tell him to alter your schedule any way he sees fit to help you fulfill that purpose. Yeah. And then let him do that.
Well, what you said earlier and what you're saying all through this is just really true. We, for most of us, prayer is talking to God, and it needs to be a whole lot more listening to God. You know, in one of the chapters of your book, you talk about how you use walking or jogging, running as a way to be physically active and get alone with God to pursue his voice. Describe those solitary experiences and share what women can do to keep the focus intentionally on God when friends or family join them.
Well, that's really good. That's a great question. I work out a lot by myself so that I can, but I do have people who like to walk with me at times. And so, again, I think it's mainly just keeping the focus on what God's doing in your life. There's nothing that we enjoy more than hearing how God is using other people or what he's doing in their life, because we get encouraged by that. And we say, well, hey, if he can do that in their life, you know, what can you do in mine? And so listening to what God is doing, encourage that conversation with someone when you're walking or running with them, saying, hey, you know, it's a great question to toss out there. And when I'm signing books at my events, Brad, I always like to tell the women there may be a line of people waiting to sign, but I like to ask each person, hey, tell me about you while I'm signing their book. Tell me about you. And they're stunned. It's like they don't know what to say. And they'll say, of course, I'm a wife, I'm a mom, I'm a teacher, I'm a whatever. But I'll say, no, tell me about you. And so many times they don't know what to say because we don't really think about that. Tell me about me. I mean, I'm just telling you what I do. And so begin to ask that question. That's a great open-ended question to ask people to begin to get that conversation rolling is, tell me about you, and then, hey, tell me about what God's done in your life lately. I know my assistant and I, the assistant who travels with me on the road, we have a phrase that we use a lot because we see it so much, and we'll say, look what God did. And when we can say, hey, look what God did, other people go, wow, God did something in my life too. I know we were going back to the airport in Kansas the other day, and I was sharing a couple of stories, and a lady that was driving us asked me, she said, Shannon, she said, you have so many like cool things that happened to you in your life. I don't have those kind of things. I said, sure you do. I said, I just talk about them, and I just go into detail about them, but you have them every day. And as her friend that was driving with us started talking to her, she said, no, remember when this happened and remember when that happened? Brad, I think that's a great way to say, hey, what has God done lately? Because we need to have those look what God did moments to keep us focused.
Absolutely.
On what he's doing instead of, well, you know, my husband didn't take out the trash. Or it's easy when we get together, and I'll say this as
sure.
Women. Men may do this too. But as women, our husbands can be the greatest thing in the world, but when we get together, by the time that we get home, they think they've left the same woman that they've, you know, that they're coming home to the same woman they've left. And by the time we've gotten together with other girlfriends and we've griped about men or we've griped about this and that, we're not the same person. We're mad when they walk in the door. We got to be really careful to surround ourselves with people who share those look what God did moments with us to keep our focus. So I think that's a great question to ask when we're working out is, hey,
sure.
Have you had a look what God did moment lately?
Okay, I have to ask. You're in boxing gloves on the cover of your book, pink no less. Do you do kickboxing, self-defense classes, other kind of group exercise, or
you
anything
know what?
That lets you get more in shape?
It would do my heart so good to tell you yes, but I cannot tell a lie. I am not a boxer. Now, I have learned a lot about boxing. I actually taped a video for Grace and Guts in a boxing ring, so I learned a lot from a boxing coach, and I have thought about taking boxing. I'm so amazed at the discipline it takes for those guys and girls to do what they do. But I'll tell you what I do. I taught aerobics growing up when I was in college, and I tell a funny story actually in the book about going back to jazzercise after 20 years and thinking I was just going to walk back on the front row and, you know, look the same and feel the same as I did 20 years from then. Didn't matter if it had, you know, hadn't worked out in 20 years. And so when I walked into the class, you know, Barbie came to the class and she stood by me on the front row. And as we started working out, she was smiling and flipping her head. And she had the perfect makeup and the perfect hair. Well, of course, women listening know that's just, you know, like, oh gosh, I'm just hoping I can get through this first, you know, little dance routine here, because jazzercise is a little dance routine when you work out. Well, by the time class was over, I moved to the back row and I watched her on the front row. And it, you know, so many times if we can't do something when we're working out, we begin to find the flaws in somebody else so that we feel better about ourselves. And so I started looking at her and thought, you know, Brad, this is terrible. I thought, yeah, she probably doesn't have any kids. Yeah, she probably didn't have a real job either. I walked out of there and I thought, I will never come back to this class. Well, I was telling this story at a conference and I looked down on the front row and Barbie, what the girl that had stood next to me, I called her Barbie because she was so just perfect. She had come to my conference. And I got done telling that story, and she walked up to me, and she said, you do jazzercise? I do jazzercise. And I said, really? And she said, yes. And I said, well, I have a confession to make to you. You're the Barbie in my story. And she said, oh, you're kidding. She said, I have 6 kids and own my own business. And so I said, you know, so when we're working out, we can't compare ourselves to each other. And as women, we're really bad about that. We've got to encourage each other. And the great part of that, Brad, to finish that story, she didn't know. I said, well, who are you here with? And she said, oh, I just wanted to come. I'd heard about you, and I wanted to come to a conference. She wound up getting saved that night at that conference and giving her life to Christ. And so it was such an incredible way to see we can't compare ourselves to one another as women and as men. We do it all the time. We just have to work at being the best that we can be. So that's what I do now. I don't do aerobics anymore. I run and I walk because it's just time alone for me and the music or the podcast that I want to listen to and me and God.
Well, cool. And so running and walking are your ways of getting active. I do want to dig just a little deeper, though, on that and ask, you know, what people can do when they want to get in, when they need to get intense. I ask this because I think culture these days often pushes young girls, women, moms, even older women, to be reserved, to keep it contained, all nice and pretty. And I'd really like for you to talk about, you know, what can they do when they need to let loose?
Oh, wow. Well, I'm probably the right girl to ask that question to, because I always say you can paint the barn. I can still paint the barn. You know what I mean, Brad? That's a saying here in Texas. I can still dress it up and I can still look good. But I have to realize that, and I think all of us have to realize, there is a time and a place for that, and there is a time and a place where God says, I just need for you to get just to get with it. And that's why I talked about that 10 minutes of consistency a day. I think as women and as young girls especially, there's a lot of pressure on us from the media that we have to look a certain way, act a certain way, dress a certain way. And I want to say those things are not bad. It is good to look our best. We should strive to look our best. I think too many times our culture has pushed it the other way and said, just be who you are. It doesn't matter how you look. It doesn't matter. And I don't agree with that. I think that God wants our best. But with that being said, it's His best. It's not the media's best that it's trying to throw at us. It's not what is on YouTube. Excuse me. It's not what's on YouTube that says is the best. It's God's best for us. And again, that's why it's important for us to get along with Him. But to be able to get in there and say, I'm going to consistently do what I know is right for me, for my body, And we know, no one needs to tell us. If we need to lose a few pounds, we know. We don't have to be told. If we know we're not looking right in those clothes the same way that we used to look, we know. We are our own worst critics. Most of us are our own worst critics. And so I think the important thing is to remember that too many times we listen to the wrong voice, and we begin to hear those voices, even from the past. We talked about bullying early on. I can go back to that boy who used to tell me how fat I was, and I can hear that, and I can begin to look in the mirror, and I can look really beautiful, but all of a sudden, all I see are thighs in the mirror, and then all of a sudden, I'm upset, and I just want to cry, and I just need a hug and a cookie, you know? And so we have to be aware that while we need to be our best, we don't want to listen to those old tapes that say, you'll never get there, you're never going to be enough, you're never... God says we're enough. He says we're fearfully and wonderfully made. And so when we know that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, we want to take care of the temple that He has created, because if we don't take care of that temple, we're not able to thrive. We're not able to pursue our purpose and to find out what we're created for. And we're all created for such a powerful purpose, and we need to be able to serve in that purpose. And for me, I know traveling as much as I do, it's important for me not to just eat French fries on the road. It's important for me to grab something healthy and to drink some water. And I'm not a healthy eater, Brad. I'd love to sit here and say, oh, yeah, I eat salads. And I'm not. I really, that's one of my my struggles is how I eat. And so I'm trying to be a lot more self-conscious of that. But that's because that's something God's convicted me of. No one else told me I needed to do that. It's something when we spend that time with Him and we say, I have a purpose, God has a very special plan for my life, and He does for anyone who's listening, and I need to be in shape physically, mentally, spiritually in order to get that done, because we all have a short time here, then we will run that race with endurance, as Paul talked about, and that means physically, spiritually, emotionally, all of those things, so that we can go for the prize, which is the high call in Christ Jesus.
Absolutely. Shannon, as we're getting ready to wrap this conversation up, it's gone by quickly. Wow, we've had so much good stuff. Help women to make some clear distinctions between getting results, whatever that might be, and getting more lasting results by turning to God.
Great question. I believe that we live in a very microwave society, Brad. And so we are especially hard on ourselves when we don't see instant results, because everything is instant. I always joke with the women and say, you know, you can buy anything these days. I tell a story about the time that I went, and when I turned 40, my mom, when I found out I was doing TV, my mom said, don't you ever do anything to your face. And I thought, you know, at 40, what can my mom tell me to do? I went to that place where you can buy some lips, and I had my lips injected. And I will tell you, Brad, I will never do that again. It hurts so bad. And I tell a hilarious story about that. It's in the book, Grace in High Heels, if they want to read about it. I mean, my lips were numb for 2 weeks. I couldn't talk. And it's a hilarious story. But my point of that story is that you can buy anything, and we can have instant anything, most instant anything in this world, except we cannot have instant joy unless it comes from the throne, because we are trying to do things that create that instant joy. And I'm not talking about happiness. That's different. We can buy happiness, but we cannot buy joy. Joy, the true joy of the Lord, is our strength. And that's where we get the strength to work out. That's where we get the strength to raise our families. That's where we get the strength to run the race and to do all the things we're called to do. And so what I would remind women to remember is that it's crucial that we are patient with ourselves in the process, because the process is where we get the results. And consistency, again, I will go back and I will say that, just like having grace and guts from in the book, you know, I talk a lot about endurance in the book Grace and Guts, and it's from a perspective of spiritual and counseling, of course, where we have to talk about the different things that we face mentally and spiritually. But the point is, whether we're talking about physical, spiritual, mental, it's the process, and it's allowing God to do the change from the inside out.
Yeah.
And when we see changes begin to happen from the inside out, that's when the joy comes. That's when that abiding joy comes. And we can be proud of what we're doing because we don't quit. We don't give up. And I want to encourage listeners to hear that today. Don't quit. Don't give up. If I would have given up, I would have never written the book Grace and Guts. I would have never had once all those things happened to me in that same year, I can tell you I didn't quit. And Brad, today I can tell you my dad is cancer-free. My home, everything has been replaced that we lost. They sewed my finger back on, and I can cover up the little missing part with the Dolly Parton fingernails that I wear. And, my mom is in heaven worshiping at the feet of Jesus. So when we don't quit, we can press on through. We see the good things that happen as a result of that consistency and following through in every aspect of our life.
It's been great to talk with you, Shannon, and have you share with our Faith and Fitness Magazine community insights into how all of us can make faith the strongest part in our pursuit of a healthy life. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Brad. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate you. Thanks for all you do for our community.
You can get Shannon Perry's book, Grace and Guts, Strategies for Living a Knockout Life, by following the link in Faith and Fitness Magazine. Our Women's Interest Department offers a wide range of features and resources. We're always updating it with new content. So bookmark it on your computer or mobile device and share it with your friends. Until next time, remember that God is your strength and Faith and Fitness Magazine is your tool for powerful, healthy, and passionate living.